Welcome to AdultBabaStories.com, our vicarious guide and our vicarious people. This is 2023 Baba Reading Plan, Jeremiah, October 1st through 21st. Through 3 weeks to read the book of Jeremiah. It takes about 3 hours and 51 minutes. But if you read 20 minutes a day, you're going to get through just fine. This is the second video, and we're in chapter 6. So let's just jump right in there. So chapter 6, verse 14, what I find interesting this time reading through Jeremiah. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they even blush. So they healed the wound of my people lightly. They put a Band-Aid over a fatal wound. And that's why I see churches nowadays when they say, it's not God's best if somebody's in pornography. That's not God's best, or somebody's living in adultery. That's not God's best. And they're more like trying to bribe people to return to Christ rather than telling people that unless your eternal life is in Christ, you don't have eternal life. You know, if you're doing these kind of things, not only is that your best, but you're going to get God's worst, which is, you know, eternity is separated from him and the devil's hell. And so they have healed the wound of my people lightly. You go in, you need heart surgery, and they kind of pump you up of drugs and, you know, and this false provision and false, you know, all kinds of stuff. And you're sent back out. No, they know full well that you're going to perish, you're going to die in your sin. They're not telling you that you're going to die in your sin. They're just telling you that you're going to be okay, that God loves you, God understands, and it's not God's best. Do not listen to that junk. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they even have to blush. We need to, you know, at least feel guilty. You know, shame is a lot of times your identity, and guilty is just what you do. But if you're doing something long enough, it is part of who you are. It is part of your identity, and you should feel ashamed of doing that. And you just need to repent of what you have done. Repent of that. We're guilty before God, and he doesn't want us to be ashamed or that kind of stuff. But if we're not ashamed of doing things, then there's probably something wrong. We're probably so calloused, and we don't even really mean when we say, God, I'm sorry, or really, you know, we're not returning to God with a full heart. But they've healed the wound of my people lightly. Chapter 7, verse 16, something I found interesting. As for you, do not pray for this people or lift up a cry or prayer for them. Do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. So there is a time, at times, especially, you know, this time that God told Jeremiah, don't pray for Israel because I'm not going to hear your prayers. And he talks about some famous people in scripture, says even if Daniel or Noah or Moses was a prayer, I wouldn't hear their prayers. You know, I wouldn't hear their prayers for their own children. They can only save themselves by their righteousness found in Christ Jesus. And so there is a time sometimes that God tells me not to pray for a group of people or some people. And we need to understand that, you know, if you keep going in sin, there might be to a point that you've hardened so much that there is no way bringing you back. So don't wait for that day. You need to turn to the Lord now while there's still light, while you still can. Chapter 8, chapter 9. So, you know, Jeremiah grieves in chapter, in the verse of chapter 9, verse 23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So we don't need to boast in what, you know, what we're comfortable with or what we're good at or what we have. So if you're given to intellect, don't boast in that. If you're given over to your strength, don't boast about that. If you're given over to, if you have a lot of wealth, don't boast in that kind of thing. Boast that the Lord understands. Boast in who the Lord is. Chapter 10, verse 21, For the shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. Now that is pretty stupid. We don't ask the Lord. We should never lean to our own understanding. We're not supposed to be presumptuous and assuming what God is going to say. I mean, that's the pride of life. That's the thinking, God, I got this now, so I don't need to go to you. Even if you're in the Word of God day and night meditating on it, there's things you don't know. And by the fear of the Lord, you don't judge by the sight of your eyes or the hearing of your ears, but you inquire of the Lord. My shepherds are stupid. They do not inquire of the Lord. If you do not pray, well, I'm not saying you're stupid, but Jeremiah is. For the shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered. Verse 23 says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. So if you're not inquiring of the Lord, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know the direction you're going. You don't know north from south, east from west. You're going to go in the wrong direction unless you inquire of the Lord all the time. He is your GPS, and I'm telling you, in a world gone awry, we got to have a GPS that, you know, doesn't change. We've got to have a true north, and that is the Lord Jesus. Chapter 11, verse 14 says, "Therefore, do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer on their behalf, or I will not listen when they call on me in time of their trouble." So here's God telling Jeremiah again, don't pray for these people, and sometimes it can be really difficult. Verse 20 of chapter 11, "But O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind." So God does test our emotions. God does test our thoughts. Not because he doesn't know, but so that we may know. When we go to school, you know, your English teacher, your math teacher, you know, your geometry teacher, geography teacher, they're not giving you tests, you know, so they can know. Of course, they do need to know to see if to pass you to the next grade or not. But it's so that you may know, so that you know where you are, how much you know about the subject. So he tests our heart and our mind. You may think you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you come into a test and you fall short and you find out you don't love his God as much as you think you do. Or, you know, in your thoughts. Sometimes your thoughts go awry. That you don't have this control over your thoughts as much. You're really not thinking of things that are pure and true and honest and good report as much as you think you are. So that's why we go through some tests. Chapter 12 says, "O righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you, yet would I plead my case before you? Why does the way of the wicked prosper? And why do all who are treacherous thrive?" And so here's Jeremiah kind of getting upset with God and says, "God, why, you know," he's asking for justice. And like a lot of people are nowadays, he's asking for justice, but it seems like injustice is one that's being blessed. And so Jeremiah, like all the other prophets, are asking God, why is this happening this way? I mean, Jeremiah had a rough life. I mean, he was obeying to God. So why didn't he prosper like everybody else when he was the one obeying God? So it's a question a lot of people ask. Go to chapter 12, verse 5. Says, "If you have raced with men," this is God's answer to Jeremiah, "if you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses?" So God is going, man, if you can't handle this level of persecution, if you can't handle this level of what's going on, then how are you going to go with the horses? How am I going to, you know, exalt you? How am I going to bring you to the next level? How am I going to promote you if you can't, you know, handle the stress of at this moment in this time? Verse 8 in chapter 12, "My heritage has become to me like a lion in the forest. She has lifted up her voice against thee. Therefore, I hate her." So this is people raising up their voice against God. Verse 10, "Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. They have trampled down my portion. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness." So this is God talking about the priests, the prophets, and the pastors of our days. Chapter 13, verse 10, "This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who stubbornly follow their own heart." You refuse to hear his words, one thing, and then you stubbornly follow your own heart. We're not supposed to follow our own heart. Now, that's kind of a thing to say because we are led in our heart. Our heart encases both our spirit and our soul. And if we're born again, we have a new spirit. So in that case, we're supposed to follow our heart. But the scripture says, you know, we're supposed to follow the Holy Spirit. And how does he do that? He does that through our heart. But we need to know which side of the heart we're following. Because if we're going to follow our own inclinations, we're going to be led astray. "The evil people refuse to hear my words." So that's the first thing is. And now if you're on Adult Bible Stories, .com, and you're reading your Bible, at least look like you're willing to hear God's word. If you're going to church and listen to the minister, you're at least want to hear God's word. So now don't stubbornly, you know, follow your heart. If your heart wants to go one direction and the word of God is coming up in you and said, don't go that direction. You know, spirit and soul are always fighting. Your heart's always fighting. That's why I think it was Moses prayed, "Lord, bring unity in my heart, so I do not, you know, so I don't, I don't put your fear in my heart, so my heart's not divided." Because your soul, your mind, will, and emotions wants to go one direction, and a newborn again spirit wants to follow God. So you don't want to stubbornly follow after your soul. You want to stubbornly set your face like flint to follow God. Chapter 14, verse 11 says, "The Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. Though they fast, I will not hear their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence." Three strong cords. Sword, famine, and pestilence. That's usually what happens. Sword brings a war, then it brings famine, then people are dying, which brings disease, pestilence. And I said, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall have you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them to speak to them. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless deviation, and the deceit of their own minds. Prophelying, I think what some people call it nowadays. Prophelying, so they're lying. So I guess I'm going to stop right here for the next video, and talk to you soon.